Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso. We want to start by bringing you an update on the fire that's been burning up in the Julian area. The 4th of July parade in Julian was an unintended victim of the Banner Fire, which is east of Julian, and it destroyed two homes and a shed, also injuring a firefighter. The fire started around noon yesterday, and by today it has charred 217 acres with 40% containment as of this recording, according to Captain Ken Bortiser of CAL FIRE. All the evacuation orders have been lifted, and that's good news for Julian residents. However, road closures remain in effect at State Route 78 at Manzanita Drive, as well as Manzanita Drive at Lakeview Drive. Fire Chief Rick Marinelli with the Julian Fire Department, along with Chief Joe Rinaldi, the incident commander for CAL FIRE, both said cancellation of the parade was needed to protect public safety and also move equipment to support firefighting operations along the Banner Grade. In a worst-case scenario, they warned, the fire could kick back to life, and doing evacuations would be next to impossible with the parade and the traffic jams. At a briefing held last night, the meeting got heated at times, with many in the community voicing frustration because this parade is a major economic boom for Julian. The Julian News Publisher site on Facebook reported that the community of Crest came forward and offered a place in their parade for the people in Julian. The Julian Chamber of Commerce told the Julian Publisher that while the parade was canceled due to the wildfire, the American Legion barbecue and music in the park events would go on as planned on the 4th of July. Earlier on Thursday, about 200 homes were at risk and evacuations were ordered in both the Whispering Pines area and Kentwood. At the command post, CAL FIRE Captain Kendall Bortiser told us that units came from all over the county as well as assets from Orange County to launch an aggressive attack on the wildfire. Most of the units on the ground were from our county, and they included Viejas Fire, Lakeside, and El Cajon Fire Departments from East County, as well as units from Coronado, Bonita, Carlsbad, San Pasquale, and other places. There were also personnel at the command post from the County Office of Emergency Services. The Red Cross and the Julian CERT team first opened a shelter at the Julian High School multipurpose room and later moved it to a park and then back to the high school. About 50 evacuees turned out at the shelters, but a CERT team member said the number displaced was far more. According to Sheriff Lieutenant J.W. Boltwerts, while there were mandatory evacuations in place, they couldn't force anybody out of their homes and some people chose to stay behind. During the briefing at the high school where the parade cancellation was announced, much to the dismay of residents, the crowd still gratefully thanked fire and police officials with an ovation. Some citizens also raised concerns over notification and said they did not get any calls advising them to evacuate or any other form of warning. Sheriff's officers did go door-to-door with bullhorns, and the command center issued emergency notifications through its Ready San Diego Alert system using the 911 database. Captain Bortiser recommended that people sign up for the free service for their cell phones as well as landlines at ReadySanDiego.org. You can also sign up for the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts, which are free and come via email. You can get those at EastCountyMagazine.org, or you can receive the Viejas Alerts on your cell phone by following Viejas Alerts on Twitter. And on behalf of everyone at East County Magazine and the Viejas Wildfire Alerts, we wish all of you a very happy and safe 4th of July. This is a public service announcement from the nonprofit East County Magazine regarding the Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alert Service. During a wildfire, it's critical to receive timely news about evacuations, shelters, threatened communities, and other vital information. Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are available free to the public via email, or you can receive the alerts via Twitter on your mobile phone. You can get information on how to sign up for these free alerts at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Nation.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Ariel Johansson, bringing you the most exciting festivals, events, and attractions each week. This week's Destination East County has a rundown on 4th of July festivities throughout our inland region. No need to fight traffic to watch fireworks at the beach when you can choose from an array of venues right here in East County, where our cities and historic small towns show their patriotic spirit with parades, picnics, festivals, and fireworks. You'll hear about KNSJ's radio anniversary celebration at Mission Trails. Plus, we'll have a preview of some unique events coming up next week. From a firefighter's fishing derby to outdoor musical theater, twilight walks, a star party, and a super full moon jazz concert amid fragrant fields of lavender. So let's get started with Classic Car Nights, July 2nd and 3rd. Classic car shows will be held in El Cajon and La Mesa during the holiday week. The city of El Cajon will host its annual 4th of July picnic and fireworks at Kennedy Park. The picnic begins at 1 p.m. with food, games, prizes, and train rides for children. Live musical entertainment begins at 3 p.m. with the highlight of the event, fireworks at 9 p.m. The City of Santee hosts its annual July 4th event, Santee Salutes, from 3:30 to 10 p.m. at Town Center Community Park East. This event includes live music featuring the 80s All-Stars, a patriotic ceremony, kids' fun zone with rides and more, and the grand finale, a dazzling fireworks display. Admission is free, though there is a fee at nearby parking lots, with parking costs supporting local youth sports leagues. Or you can take a free shuttle service from the Costco parking lot to the event. Poway's old-fashioned 4th of July offers photo ops with Uncle Sam and President Lincoln, patriotic arts and crafts, Civil War reenactments, steam train rides, live music, games, food, and more from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Free admission. And also check out the fireworks celebration at the Poway High School Stadium with games, DJ music, and fireworks from 7 to 10 p.m., the fireworks starting at 9 p.m. Fishing enthusiasts, rejoice! Take advantage of a free fishing day courtesy of California Department of Fish and Wildlife. Every year, they provide two free fishing days for people to try their hand at fishing. This year, those days are July 5th and September 6th. Fishing regulations such as bag and size limits, gear restrictions, report card requirements, fishing hours, and stream closures remain in effect. On Saturday, July 5th, KNSJ invites you to our community radio station's first anniversary party from 6:30 to 10 p.m. at the beautiful Mission Trails Regional Park Visitors Center. Come mix and mingle with our radio hosts and celebrity guests in a spectacular natural setting. Enjoy live music, Native American flute players, delicious food and drinks, stargazing, the museum, no host bar, and two stages of comedy acts and musical entertainment. At Wright's Field Preserve in Alpine, a flashlight series event, In Awe of the Stars, will be held on Saturday, July 5th, from 8 to 10 p.m. Guests are encouraged to bring a chair or blanket and a flashlight to enjoy an evening of stargazing with guide Trevor Gardner, a local Eagle Scout. The group will walk into Wright's Field to take advantage of the darkness of the preserve for stargazing. The group will meet promptly at 8 p.m. in order to hike in together. This event is hosted by the Backcountry Land Trust. The new Mission Trails Regional Park art exhibit, A Softer View, features award-winning artist Catherine Gail Ackley. Each of her paintings represents a different way of approaching a topic, a different challenge, and an opportunity to create a softer view of the world. Next, an outdoor concert at the amphitheater features the Pomerado Saxophone Quartet at 3 p.m. on Sunday, July 6th. Kids Bowl Free Nationwide All Summer Long. Throughout this nationwide program, children ages 15 and under who are registered can bowl two free games a day all summer long, June 16th through September 13th. Each center has different days that they make available. Regular shoe rental prices do apply. In East County, Parkway Bowl and Poway Fun Bowl are participating. Please see our website for Destination East County for the times, the days, and the website. Now, for a preview of some fun summer attractions coming next week, Lindo Lake Park in Lakeside will be showing outdoor movies at dusk on July 11th when Monster University will be on the big screen. You can bring a beach chair, blankets, and, of course, popcorn. The Santee Firefighters Fishing Derby is set for Saturday, July 12th at Santee Lakes. From 6 to 11 a.m., Derby participants will receive a free day permit, worms, raffle ticket, hot dog lunch, and free door prizes while they last. The Fishing Derby is open only to children ages 3 to 17 years. Adults can help bait and cast, but not fish. Loaner poles are available with ID. There is a pre-registration date of July 9th that is required, and you can register online at www.santeefirefighters.org. The public is invited to the 45th annual Descanso Days Parade and Fair held Saturday, July 12th. This popular annual backcountry event will be held at the historic Descanso Town Hall. This year's parade theme is Bonnets and Boots, with prizes for the best parade entries in several categories. The parade starts at 10 a.m., but the roads close at 9:30 a.m., so plan to arrive early. You can also listen to live music while you enjoy pit barbecued beef cooked by the master chefs of Pine Valley Mountain Riders. Just Friends will start the musical lineup with their bluegrass twang at 11 a.m., followed by Steve Hill and the Hill Country Band on the KSON flatbed stage from 1 to 5 p.m. There will be a variety of activities, especially for kids, including wheelbarrow races, an egg toss, and a nail driving contest, as well as a best bonnet competition for all ages. You can also try your luck at raffles, and a silent auction will be held with prizes ranging from bales of hay to a family visit at Disneyland. With the scent of lavender in the air, a golden sunset, and colorful fields of lavender as a backdrop, Gregory Page will perform at the Keys Creek Lavender Farm in Valley Center. The concert will be held on Saturday, July 12th from 7 to 9:30 p.m. Guests are invited to bring a picnic dinner and enjoy an evening with Page. Winner of the 2012 San Diego Music Awards Best Jazz Album, Shine, Shine, Shine. Page performs melodies and lyrics reminiscent of the 1920s sweet jazz era as a super full moon rises to illuminate the night sky on July 12th, promising to be a magical night. Kids of all ages are invited to join the fun and showcase their pets at the first annual Pet Parade and St. Adelaide Parish Family Festival on July 12th at the Campo Baseball Field. The parade begins at 11 a.m., and the festival runs from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Parade entrants are invited to decorate a wagon or stroller for their pet or walk with their pets on a leash. Drawings will also be held for prizes, including a half a steer to fill a freezer, donated by Wright Ranch of Potrero. The festival also includes vendor booths, an inflatable slide, and water combo, face painting, and refreshments. Santee Summer Concerts line up for their Blues and Barbecue Night on Thursday, July 17th, includes the Mercedes Moore Band and the Bayou Brothers with special guest Bill McGee. The festivities begin at 5:30 p.m. and there will be blues, barbecue, and a beer garden until 8:30 p.m., held at Santee's Town Center Community Park East. Les Miserables on Mount Helix from July 17th through 21st. A live performance. This summer blockbuster will be staged atop Mount Helix, July 17th through August 2nd. CCT is returning to Mount Helix after being away for 7 years. That's Christian Community Theater. Les Miserables is the world's longest-running musical. Discover a nation in the grip of revolution, where convict Jean Valjean is on the run. Hunted relentlessly by the policeman Jay Vert for breaking his parole, he must leave his past behind and keep his vow to raise the young orphaned Cosette. You're invited to join Mission Trails Regional Park Guides this summer for free Saturday evening guided walks in the park to learn about changes that occur as the sun goes down. These walks last approximately an hour and a half and start from the parking lot across from the Kumeyaay Campground entrance on July 19th at 7:15 p.m., August 16th at 7:30 p.m., and September 20th at 6 p.m. There's also an owl prowl that you can sign up for. Visit www.mtrp.org. That's all for this week. You can find details on all of these events and more on our calendar and in our festivals and events section online at www.eastcountymagazine.org. If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County show on KNSJ, you can contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County. See you around, East County!
This is Miriam Raftery, and we have word on one additional fireworks show in East County, and that will be at the Viejas Resort. It'll be held tonight, 4th of July, at 9 p.m. in Alpine.
You're listening to East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
This is Raina Menashe reporting for East County Magazine. My Life, a social media website, recently did an analysis of data to determine the most patriotic cities in the U.S. The results are in, just in time for the 4th of July, and San Diego is ranked number one. My Life's analysis included four sets of data: the percentage of population in the armed forces, total spending on veterans, popularity of fireworks in July, and community and social service workers. The cities that ranked very well in total spending on veterans were important in determining which cities made the top 10 rankings. San Diego ranked 5th in veterans spendings and 1st in overall patriotic spirit. Some states had multiple cities earning top rankings for this analysis. Texas had 5 cities and California had 2. You can read the full analysis at www.mylife.com or at eastcountymagazine.org.
If you plan to party hardy over the 4th of July weekend, there are now several options for getting safe rides home. Tipsy Toe offers free rides home up to 7 miles away. You can ask for a Tipsy Toe by calling 1-800-400-4222. Tipsy Toe is sponsored by the Automobile Association of America, but on the 4th of July weekend, it is available free to everyone, not just AAA members. Another service, Be My Designated Driver, offers low-cost driver and pickup services. You can find out more at their website, bemydd.com, or consider taking a bus or trolley to your destination. The Metropolitan Transit Service has information on bus and trolley schedules at sdmts.com. Also be aware that the San Diego County Sheriff's Department will be holding increased driving under the influence, or DUI, patrols by deputies across the county beginning on Thursday, July 3rd through Sunday, July 6th. Deputies will also take part in a DUI checkpoint on Saturday, July 5th from 7 p.m. to 3 a.m. at an undisclosed location within the city of San Diego to help keep drunk drivers off the roads. The Sheriff's Department arrested 46 people for DUI over the 4th of July enforcement period last year, and 26 arrests for drunk driving during the Independence Day holiday in 2012. Sheriff Bill Gore urges you not to drink and drive. Quote, "By doing so, you put your life in danger as well as those of other drivers on the road," unquote, the sheriff says, adding, quote, "Remember, drive sober or get pulled over," unquote. If you do drink, be sure to have a designated driver handy or use a taxi or another transportation service. This 4th of July weekend, be aware of San Diego County's social host ordinance. Anyone caught serving alcohol to a minor will be arrested and booked into jail. You can report underage drinking to the Sheriff's Department by calling their non-emergency line at 858-565-5200. You can also learn more about your responsibility as a social host by visiting www.sdsheriff.net www.ecmag.com/social-host. Reporting for East County Magazine, this is Arielle Brooke.
You're listening to East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso.
The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org. This is Miriam Raftery with KNSJ. In honor of Independence Day and the birth of independent media here today, we have lined up some very special interviews. Have you ever wondered what our founding fathers would have said about the news events that are happening now in America? Well, we decided to ask them. That's right. We've conjured up the spirits of 1776, our founding fathers and some founding mothers who fought for the liberties that we enjoy today. Of course, we couldn't really bring them back to life, but we have brought in actors to read in their own words the views of these revolutionary patriots, the radicals of their day. We asked them questions about the hot issues of our times, and the words they spoke over 200 years ago are as relevant today as they were back when America was born. Plus, in the spirit of bringing you all sides to this story, we have also brought in a leader from the Native American community during colonial times, as well as that ruler against whom the colonists rebelled, King George III. And now let's welcome our guests to KNSJ. Yay. Now, could each of you rabble-rousers please start by sharing a favorite quote with our listeners? Let's begin with former President Thomas Jefferson, author of the Declaration of Independence.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Inspiring words. Next, we have Benjamin Franklin, famed statesman, scientist, and newspaper editor. Ambassador Franklin, what's your quote for today?
Rebellion against tyrants is obedience to God.
Thank you, Ambassador Franklin. Next up, Patrick Henry, my ancestor and the former Virginia governor who called the British Stamp Act treason and helped foment the American Revolution.
Give me liberty or give me death.
King George, you had a little different view of this rebellion. Will you please share your reaction?
Once these rebels have felt a smart blow, they will submit.
Never.
George, feel
never.
The smart blows never. Themselves.
Your Highness, it didn't quite work out that way. We are also honored to have with us George Washington, the first president of our nation, known as the father of our country, a leader famed for his integrity.
I hold the maxim, no less applicable to public than to private affairs, that honesty is the best policy.
Thank you, Mr. President. Our next guest is Phyllis Wheatley, known as the poet of the Revolution. She once wrote a poem and sent it to General Washington himself. Mrs. Wheatley, can you please share an excerpt?
Proceed, great chief, with virtue on thy side. Thy every action let the goddess guide.
General Washington later invited you to actually meet with him. Can you please read another of your revolutionary verses?
Thick as leaves in autumn's golden rain, such and so many moves the warrior's train.
Now, Mrs. Wheatley also sent poems to British nobility and had her work published in a colonial newspaper. Her accomplishments are even more impressive when you learn that Mrs. Wheatley was a slave at the time, educated by her masters, more fortunate than the vast majority of slaves, of course. She later gained fame for her eloquent defense of liberty for all people, but more on that later. Our next guest is John Adams, diplomat and former president. What's your founding vision?
Government is instituted for the common good, for the protection, safety, prosperity, and happiness of the people, and not for profit, honor, or private interest.
Not for profit.
All right. Now we will hear from your wife, Abigail Adams. Mrs. Adams, you were a first lady and a champion for women's rights long before it was fashionable.
If we mean to have heroes, statesmen, and philosophers, we should have learned women.
Yeah. Indeed,
James Madison, another former president, we have quite a few of them here today, co-authored the Federalist Papers that helped to win ratification of the Constitution. President Madison?
Liberty may be endangered by the abuse of liberty, but also by the abuse of power.
Now, some listeners may not know that the American Revolution divided Native American people. Some tribes sided with the colonists and others with the British. Our next guest is Mohawk Indian Chief Thayananegae, also known by his English name, Chief Joseph Brant. He sided with the British during the Revolution and was actually considered one of Britain's finest officers, leading battles against those rebellious colonists. Chief Brant, please explain why you chose to oppose the colonists.
Indeed, it is very hard when we have let the king's subjects have so much of our lands for so little value. The Mohawks have on all occasions shown their zeal and loyalty to the great king, yet they have been very harshly treated by his people.
And finally, Thomas Paine, a corset maker by trade, later a journalist and a pamphleteer who authored Common Sense, or as the British called him, a propagandist. Mr. Paine, what quote would you like to share?
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands now deserves the love and thanks of a man and woman. Tyranny like hell is not easily conquered.
Thank you, thank you. Now for our first question. How important do you believe it is to have media that is independent, free from control by the government or by powerful corporations? President Jefferson, let's start with you.
Where the press is free and every man able to read, all is safe. Where left to me to decide whether we should have a government without newspapers or newspapers without a government, I should not hesitate a moment to prefer the latter.
Ambassador Franklin, as a former newsman yourself, can you weigh in on the trend toward media censorship of controversial issues?
Whoever would overthrow the liberty of a nation must begin by subduing the freedom of speech. If all printers were determined not to print anything till they were sure it would offend nobody, there would be very little printed.
President Madison, why is a free press important to you?
To the press alone, checkered as it is with abuses, the world is indebted for all the triumphs which have been obtained by reason and humanity over error and oppression.
Next question. Recently, a whistleblower...
Whistleblower? Do you mean a fife player?
No, a whistleblower is someone who sounds an alarm.
Oh, like Paul Revere, our good friend who warned us that the British were coming.
Something like that. This whistleblower revealed that the government has been spying on Americans and accessing our telephone and internet records.
Phones? Internets? What manner of inventions are these?
Ambassador Franklin, I'll be happy to show you how to tweet and surf the net after our interview. I believe you'll be amazed.
Tweet?
But now the government argues that knowing who we communicate with is necessary to protect us from terrorists. Yet others say this violates our constitutional liberties. Ambassador Franklin, what's your view?
They who can give up essential liberty to obtain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety.
Huzzah! Edward Snowden, the whistleblower who leaked the classified documents, proving that our government has been spying on Americans' phone and internet records, has been charged with treason. There is a very vigorous debate going on as to whether he is a hero or a traitor. King George, what's your definition of a traitor?
A traitor, of course, is anyone who does not agree with me.
Now you can see why they called him Mad King George.
Mr. Henry, in a very famous speech, you denounced the Stamp Act and declared that only colonists should have the right to levy taxes, not the king, and you went on to foment rebellion. Some in the crowd even shouted treason. What was your response?
If this be treason, make the most of it.
No new taxes.
It sounds like the original Tea Party movement. Chief Brant, you traveled to Europe and were warmly received at the British court. But you raised some royal eyebrows when you were introduced to King George here. Tell us what you said.
I told the king, I bow to no man, for I am considered a prince among my own people. But I will gladly shake your hand.
Shake hands with no man.
President Madison, in your day, the Barbary pirates were considered terrorists. Now drones, spies in the skies, are being deployed along our borders.
Spies in the skies? Do you mean balloons, such as the French launched in Paris?
Drones, actually, are unmanned flying machines, Mr. President.
Flying machines? Imagine that.
Do you believe changing times warrant more intrusion into our privacy to assure that foreign terrorists are not plotting against us?
If tyranny and oppression come to this land, it will be in the guise of fighting a foreign enemy. It is a universal truth that the loss of liberty at home is to be charged to the provisions against danger, real or pretended, from abroad.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Henry, what do you have to say about these recent erosions of our constitutional liberties?
Guard with jealous attention the public liberty. Suspect anyone who approaches that jewel.
Huzzah! Huzzah! Huzzah!
President Washington, are you concerned about a chilling effect on free speech if journalists are monitored?
If the freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent we may be led like sheep to the slaughter.
Mrs. Adams, you once urged your husband, John, to remember the ladies when the Constitution was written.
That I did, though he did not listen.
Shame!
As to your extraordinary code of laws, I cannot bit laugh, my saucy bride. We know better than to repeal our masculine systems.
You may both find it of interest to know that a constitutional amendment finally granted women the right to vote.
God.
Excellent. Hallelujah. Excellent.
Though it didn't happen until 1920.
Mercy, what took those men so long?
Good question.
My heavens, this subjects us to the despotism of the petticoat.
But even now, in the year 2013, women are still earning only 77 cents for every dollar earned by men. Mrs. Adams, is your advice to your husband still valid today?
Certainly. All men would be tyrants if they could. If particular care and attention is not paid to the ladies, we are determined to foment a rebellion, and we will not hold ourselves bound by any laws in which we have no voice or representation.
Strong words indeed. Mrs. Wheatley, you once sent a poem to Britain's Earl of Dartmouth, both celebrating American independence and making a case for abolition to bring freedom to African Americans. Can you please share some of that verse?
No more, America, in mournful strain of wrongs and grievance, unredressed complain. No longer shalt thou dread the iron chain which wanton tyranny with lawless hand had made, and with it meant enslave the land. Should you, my lord, while you peruse my song, wonder from whence my love of freedom sprung, whence flow these wishes for the common good, by filling hearts alone best understood. I, young in life, my seeming cruel fate was snatched from Africa's fancied happy seat.
Thank you. Times have changed since then. The Emancipation Proclamation freed the slaves in the 1860s, and later, African Americans were granted equal rights. Today, we even have a black president.
Glory! Oh. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Your efforts were a key part of those changes. In a letter to a well-known minister here in the colonies, you likened slaveholders to the ancient Egyptians who enslaved the Israelites. As one of the early voices in the abolitionist movement, tell us what words you used to spark his conscience.
For in every human breast, God has implanted a principle, which we call love of freedom. It is impatient of oppression and pants for deliverance. And by the leave of our modern Egyptians, I will assert that the same principle lives in us.
Speaking of Israelites fleeing Egypt for a better life elsewhere, immigration is a hot topic again here today, as it has been for many, many years. President Madison, what is your view?
America was indebted to immigration for her settlement and prosperity. That part of America which had encouraged them most had advanced most rapidly in population, agriculture, and the arts.
Some broadcast media today foments bigotry and racism. President Jefferson, do you find that troubling?
Broadcast media? It sounds narrow-minded. Bigotry is the disease of ignorance, of morbid mind. Here in America, we are destined to be a barrier against the returns of ignorance and barbarism.
Thank you. Chief Brandt, the revolution had an unfortunate consequence for Native Americans, who in seeking to protect their lands and cultural heritage were actually called barbarians. When the war was over, the British ceded lands in America not to the tribes who fought alongside them, but to the colonists. The war fueled resentment by colonists against those tribes that sided with the British and led to even worse oppression of some Indian tribes. But now in our time, the Idle No More movement has arisen, standing up for Native American rights. What are your thoughts on this?
Idle No More.
If this effort demands respect for our sovereign rights, I rise in support. We are tired out in making complaints and getting no redress.
Most of our guests today have advocated for rebellion and fought in the Revolutionary War. In recent years, however, America has gone to war far beyond our own borders, even starting a preemptive war in the Middle East. What are your views on war and peace, President Jefferson?
Peace and friendship with all mankind is our wisest policy, and I wish we may be permitted to pursue it. I have seen enough of one war never to wish to see another. The spirit of this country is totally adverse to a large military force.
President Adams, what are your thoughts?
Great is the guilt of an unnecessary war.
Mr. Franklin, how about you?
There was never a good war or a bad peace. Wars are not paid for in wartime. The bill comes later.
The bill does come later.
Speaking of bills, I'm sure Tea Party listeners out there would want me to ask you about the national debt. President Jefferson, what are your thoughts on that?
The principle of spending money to be paid by posterity under the name of funding is but swindling futurity on a large scale.
Gun violence is on the rise in America today. As a revolutionary, what is your take on the Second Amendment, President Madison?
Americans have the right and advantage of being armed, unlike the citizens of other countries whose governments are afraid to trust the people with arms.
King George, what's your reaction to these armed upstarts in the colonies defeating that powerful British military force of yours?
Knavery seems to be so much the striking feature of its inhabitants that it may not, in the end, be an evil that they will become aliens to this kingdom.
So much for diplomacy. My next question is for Ambassador Franklin. A diplomat himself and a man of science known for his many inventions, including, reportedly, flying a kite in a storm to prove the workings of electricity.
Dear me, that was a shocking experience.
Ambassador, technology has seen many advances since your day, including radio and television, instant communications that use electricity.
So the power of lightning has been harnessed at last.
Yes, it has. But now some factions want to defund scientific research and discredit scientists on issues such as climate change, and not the kind you wrote about in Poor Richard's Almanac, I might add.
The rapid progress true science now makes occasions my regretting sometimes that I was born too soon. It is impossible to imagine the height to which may be carried in 1,000 years the power of man over matter. Agriculture may diminish its labor and double its produce. All diseases may, by sure means, be prevented or cured, not even excepting that of old age, and our lives lengthened at pleasure.
Oh, it would be nice to have our lives lengthened.
President Jefferson, how important is science in your view?
When I contemplate the immense advances in science and discoveries in the arts which have been made within the period of my life, I look forward with confidence to equal advances by the present generation and have no doubt they will consequently be as much wiser than we have been, as we than our fathers were, and they than the burners of witches.
The Supreme Court, in a case called Citizens United, ruled that corporations have the same rights as people, and that restrictions on corporate contributions to candidates may not be limited. Mr. Payne, you warned about corporate power in your Rights of Man.
Corporations have a more extensive evil effect than what relates merely to elections. They are sources of endless contentions in places where they exist, and they lessen the common rights of national society.
Thomas Paine speaks the truth.
President Jefferson, the Occupy movement is a protest movement that's arisen over the power of big banks. How seriously do you take such concern?
I believe that banking institutions are more dangerous to our liberties than standing armies.
Now that's a revolutionary thought.
Yeah.
Chief Brandt, in our time, as in the time of the British Empire and colonial days, the rich and powerful sometimes seem to be above the law. You've had some strong words to say on this subject.
In the government you called civilized, the happiness of the people is constantly sacrificed to the splendor of the empire. Hence the origin of your codes of criminal and civil laws. Hence your dungeons and prisons.
Can you tell us how justice has traditionally been meted out in your Native American society?
We have no prisons.
Really?
We have no written laws. And yet judges are as highly revered among us as they are among you, and their decisions are as much regarded. We have among us no exalted villains above the control of our laws. Daring wickedness is here never allowed to triumph over helpless innocence. The estates of widows and orphans are never devoured by enterprising swindlers. We have no robbery under the pretext of law.
Can we imagine how different our world would be if this system were in place today? Now, on another topic, religious freedom and separation of church and state. You founding fathers have some differences of opinion, I understand. Let's start with President Madison.
The purpose of separation of church and state is to keep forever from these shores the ceaseless strife that has soaked the soil of Europe with blood for centuries.
Amen. Amen. Mr. Payne, will you please tell us your opinion?
All national institutions of churches, whether Jewish, Christian, or Turkish, appear to me no other than human inventions, set up to terrify and enslave mankind, and monopolize power and profit.
Ambassador Franklin, what's your view?
In the affairs of this world, men are saved not by faith, but by the want of it. But to follow by faith alone is to follow blindly.
Recently, we've seen a trend towards secrecy by our government. How important is it to assure that media can serve as watchdogs to bring forth truth, Mr. Henry?
The liberties of a people never were nor will ever be secure when the transactions of their rulers may be concealed from them.
Yes. Huzzah, huzzah.
On a lighter note, let's take some questions about pop culture. Another innovation recently is video games. I am sure our younger listeners will want to hear your views on gaming, Ambassador Franklin.
Games lubricate the body and the mind.
Oh. That sounds like Ben Franklin, doesn't it?
You charmer, you. One constitutional amendment that was passed and later repealed was a prohibition on alcohol. Winemaking has become a growing industry in our region, as it has long been in France, where you spent a great deal of your time, Ambassador. What are your views on imbibing those fruits of the vine?
Wine is constant proof that God loves us and loves to see us happy.
Amen.
I'll drink to that.
President Jefferson, you have been a champion of creating a strong public education system. But today, the price of college has risen sharply, though the current administration is striving to increase funds to help students. Can you tell us who you believe should be entitled to an education and why you think that is important?
The most promising genius, whose parents are too poor to give them further education, to be carried at the public expense through the college and university. The object is to bring into action that mass of talents which lies buried in poverty, and thus give activity to a mass of mind which, in proportion to our population, shall be double or treble of what is in most countries.
Hear, hear.
Thank you. Media bias is a growing concern in modern times, since the consolidation of media has put most major media outlets into the hands of a few big corporations. Mrs. Adams, do you believe it is important for people to hear multiple points of view?
I've always felt that a person's intelligence is directly reflected by the number of conflicting points of view he can entertain simultaneously on the same topic.
Thank you. What advice would you give to those who feel that it's just too much trouble to get involved in protecting our democracy, Mrs. Adams?
We have too many high-sounding words and too few actions that correspond with them.
Mr. Payne, do you agree?
The more difficult the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. An army of principles can penetrate where an army of soldiers cannot.
Mr. Henry, what's your advice to the citizens of today?
The battle is not to the strong alone. It is to the vigilant, the active, the brave.
President Adams, what's at stake here? Is there a risk in complacency?
Liberty cannot be preserved without general knowledge among the people. Remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide.
Perhaps it takes truth and an informed populace for democracy to survive and thrive. President Washington, what are your closing thoughts as we celebrate the birth of independent media here today?
Truth will ultimately prevail where there is pain to bring it to light.
President Adams, what advice do you have for our listeners and for future generations?
Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives.
Yeah. Well said.
Yes.
Well said.
Yes. Ambassador Franklin, are you concerned about election integrity?
Democracy is two wolves and a lamb voting on what to have for lunch. Liberty is a well-armed lamb contesting the vote.
President Jefferson, we'll let you have the final word here on this Independence Day celebration with KNSJ.
I thank KNSJ for inviting us here to remind Americans today why we fought for the independence we won in 1776. I hold it that a little rebellion now and then is a good thing and is necessary in the political world as storms in the physical.
Thank you. If people do stand up for those rights enshrined by you founding fathers and mothers, how optimistic are you for our nation's future, President Jefferson?
I like the dreams of the future better than the history of the past.
Thanks to all of you for joining us on this very special 4th of July celebration, and I hope that everyone listening will have a festive and spirited Independence Day. On Thursday, the U.S. Supreme Court unanimously ruled that a 35-foot buffer zone around abortion clinics in Massachusetts violates the free speech rights of protesters. But ironically, the High Court has its own far wider 100-foot-wide buffer zone to keep protesters away from the Supreme Court. Massachusetts passed its law to protect abortion workers and patients after a gunman killed two abortion clinic receptionists and wounded five others at two area clinics back in 1994. Violence against abortion providers has occurred elsewhere, notably the murder of Dr. George Tiller, a doctor who provided abortions in Kansas. Similar laws are on the books in other states, including California. But abortion opponents argued that such restrictions violate their First Amendment free speech rights. The case, McCullen v. Coakley, was filed on behalf of Eleanor McCullen, an opponent of abortion who wanted to speak face-to-face with women entering a Planned Parenthood clinic in Boston that offers abortion as well as other health services. The ruling was hailed by pro-life groups, who contend their members seek to stop violence against the unborn, but it was criticized by pro-choice organizations. Kristen Hawkins, president of Students for Life of America, called the decision wonderful news for all Americans because it upholds our crucial First Amendment rights of free speech, adding that it is also important for women considering abortion because it frees sidewalk counselors at abortion facilities to be able to offer what she called compassionate and caring alternatives. But the National Abortion Rights League, or NARAL, denounced the High Court's ruling. Let's be clear. Today's decision puts women and health care providers at greater risk, said NARAL pro-choice president Elise Hoag. While protesting at clinics is legal, obstructing sidewalks, threatening, intimidating, or committing violence against women seeking abortions or abortion clinic employees remain illegal under the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act signed into law by President Bill Clinton. But NARAL's Massachusetts Executive Director, Megan Amundson, said the buffer zone had worked to stop violence. Without it, she said, the only tool we have left to combat clinic violence is to prosecute people after they have committed violent acts. This decision turns back the clock to the days when women were too intimidated by protesters to seek medical care. Women's health will suffer because of it, she concluded. The High Court, in singling out buffer zones around abortion clinics, lets stand a double standard. Since buffer zones where protesters are banned have been allowed around an array of other places ranging from polling places to political conventions to the Supreme Court building itself. Thus, the ruling leaves some court pundits pondering, why do politicians, Supreme Court justices, and ordinary voters merit protection from protesters they may not wish to encounter, while women with unwanted pregnancies do not? Should one type of protest be any more or less deserving of free speech protection than any other? Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
This is Miriam Raftery with today's Green Scene Report. Honeybees are vital for our food supply, since a quarter of all foods that Americans eat depend on pollination by bees. But bee populations fell by 23% over the winter and have been declining in recent years. So now the White House has set up a task force to try and reverse this disturbing trend. President Obama has directed the Environmental Protection Agency and the U.S. Department of Agriculture to lead a task force to develop a strategy within 6 months for combating the decline in bees and other pollinators. He also announced $8 billion in funding for farmers and ranchers in the Midwest to establish new honeybee habitats. Honeybees add over $15 billion a year in value to America's agricultural crops, so failure to invest in saving the bees that pollinate these crops could be even costlier in the long run. The number of managed honeybee colonies in the U.S. has declined steadily over the past 60 years, from 6 million colonies or beehives in 1947 to just 2.5 million today. Some crops are almost exclusively pollinated by honeybees. California's almond industry alone requires the pollination services of about 1.4 million beehives each year, 60% of all beehives in America, yielding 80% of the worldwide almond production worth $4.8 billion a year. California's almond industry is at severe risk because of the dramatic decline in honeybees. The president's budget also includes $50 million for research into pollinator declines across multiple federal agencies, partnering with state and local governments, tribes, and businesses to protect honeybees and other pollinators. Now, there are several theories for why populations of bees, as well as monarch butterflies and other pollinators, have seen sharp population declines, including a condition called colony collapse disorder, in which beehives suffer a sudden and catastrophic loss of bees. These include exposure to pesticides, loss of genetic diversity, diseases, loss of habitat and food sources. Some environmental organizations say the president's actions don't go far enough. Friends of the Earth told Reuters News Service that the administration should ban the use of neonicotinoids, a class of pesticides that has been linked to bee deaths. The federal government will also work to restore the monarch butterfly migration using research and habitat improvements that will benefit monarchs and other native pollinators. These actions support the February 2014 joint statement issued by President Obama, Prime Minister Harper of Canada, and President Nieto of Mexico to renew and expand collaboration between North American nations to conserve the monarch butterfly.
The ACLU is applauding the U.S. Supreme Court ruling that will require police to obtain a warrant to search a cell phone or smartphone. Linda Lai with the ACLU of Northern California says yesterday's unanimous ruling is a major victory for the privacy rights of all Americans as protected under the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution.
Digital data makes a difference. The Supreme Court drew a very, very firm line, and it's clear that law enforcement cannot engage in phishing expeditions simply because someone's been arrested.
The Supreme Court case involves plaintiffs who were originally arrested for minor crimes, but police searches of their cell phones led to more serious allegations. The ACLU says the ruling also is significant because 9 out of 10 Americans own a cell phone or smartphone. Lai says it also shows the U.S. Supreme Court is recognizing that privacy rights extend to our rapidly expanding digital world.
Cell phones are not like anything you would normally carry around in your pocket. They contain our entire lives. They reveal so much information about us. You can learn everything about the person. Thousands of pictures, millions of documents.
Lai says protecting privacy rights will become even more important as the lives of Americans increasingly migrate to the digital world. For Public News Service, I'm Lori Abbott.
There are about 200,000 people in the United States living with a spinal cord injury, many of those with partial paralysis or paraplegia. But now there is hope that some of them may soon be able to walk again. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration this week has approved marketing of the first wearable motorized exoskeleton device to help people with lower body paralysis due to a spinal cord injury stand on their own 2 feet once again. ReWalk is a motorized device worn over the legs and part of the upper body. It helps a person sit, stand, and walk again with help from a trained companion such as a spouse or home health aide. Using a wireless remote control worn on the wrist, the user commands ReWalk to stand up, sit down, and walk. Larry Jasinski is the CEO of ReWalk Robotics. He says this revolutionary product will have an immediate life-changing impact on individuals with spinal cord injuries. Derek Herrera, a captain in the U.S. Marine Corps, is a paraplegic who trained on the ReWalk personal system, and he will be one of the first Americans to own his very own. I see this as a milestone for people in my same situation who will now have access to this technology, Captain Herrera said. The Marine Special Operations Command Foundation will be donating funds for a ReWalk system for Herrera, who works for the Marine Special Operations Command.
It will be incredible for me to regain independence, to use the system to walk and stand on my own, Captain Herrera said. Rewalk can be used by people with paraplegia due to spinal cord injuries at levels T7, that's the 7th thoracic vertebrae, to L5, the 5th lumbar vertebrae, when accompanied by a specially trained caregiver. It is also for people with spinal cord injuries at levels T4 to T6, where the device is limited to use in rehab institutions. It is not intended for sports or for climbing stairs. Before being trained to use Rewalk, patients should be able to stand using an assistive standing device or a standing frame. Their hands and shoulders should be able to support crutches or a walker. Patients should not use the device if they have a history of severe neurological injuries other than the spinal cord injury or certain other medical restrictions. To assess the safety and effectiveness of Rewalk, the FDA reviewed testing and clinical data based on 30 study participants. The FDA is also requiring Argo Medical Technologies, Inc., the manufacturer of Rewalk, to complete a post-market clinical study. The system allows independent controlled walking while mimicking the natural gait patterns of the legs, similar to that of an able-bodied person. In addition to the ability to stand and walk independently, clinical studies of Rewalk rehab system show significant health benefits to the user on both the physiological and psychological level. Study data indicates potential improvements in cardiovascular health, loss of fat tissue, and building of lean muscle mass, according to Rewalk's manufacturer. Other potential benefits may include improved pain management and fewer hospitalizations. Rewalk was developed by Dr. Amit Gofer, an Israeli inventor who became a quadriplegic after an ATV accident in 1997. It was through his own personal experience in utilizing mobility devices for people with spinal cord injuries that Dr. Gofer developed the Rewalk. Founded in 2001, Rewalk Robotics is now a global company with headquarters in the U.S., Germany, and Israel. Rewalking is much more than walking, says Jeff Dykin, Rewalk's chairman of the board. Rewalk provides paralyzed individuals with the ability to stand and walk, to look someone in the eye, to hug, and to be hugged. These are simple acts which many of our Rewalkers thought they would never be able to do again. For more information, you can visit www.rewalk.com. This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the San Diego Performance Academy for the use of their studio, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County and Descanso. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.